You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
We need gentle, humble, thoughtful wisdom when we are in the midst of trials, and we need it badly because we're going to be defensive when we're in a trial. We're going to be angry. We're going to be upset. We're going to be frustrated, and that's not the wisdom from above. And so we really need, when we feel that lack in our character because of the trial, we really need to go after God in prayer long and hard. Sometimes people go after not only prayer, but also times of fasting to really seek a God, because if there's any a time in life where you really have been revealed and you don't have the character that you need, it's right after a trial has zapped you and you just behave poorly.
Often in trials, it becomes clear how desperately you need godly wisdom, not only to understand your suffering, but also to know what to do and how to act and respond in trials. Wisdom also helps you endure in a godly way. Today, Pastor Tom will explain your great need for wisdom and point to a God who desires to give you all you need to grow in Christ-likeness. Wisdom isn't just knowledge, it's about godly character. You don't want a trial to come and go without gaining wisdom, so in humility, pursue it in all earnestness. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he begins his message, "The Lord gives wisdom generously, but do you want it?"
Wish you could have a message this time of year that says, here's what you're going to face, but nobody has that for you, do they? We have to go day by day, as the creative reading had. We have to go day by day, put our hand daily into the hands of God, say, lead me forward. I don't know what the future holds. Just lead me forward, right? In our previous sermon series, we learned how God uses those trials, difficulties to mature us. When difficulties beyond our control are foisted on us, after all, we don't usually ask for them, right? At first, our reaction is always, this is unfair, this is hurtful. Why me? Why now? Why this? But with faith, we see something else is going on here. And our Father in heaven is good, yes? He's generous. He knows what he's doing. He's wise. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it all out. He knows. He doesn't even have to figure it out. He already knows from beginning to end. You know, even we elders get things foisted on us we don't ask for. We have to seek God's wisdom. Please reveal facts, information, guide us forward, help us through this. You're going to as well. Your family will, you will. It's exciting, makes life exciting and scary at the same time, right? Exciting, scary. But God's always there, and you can march with him and let him lead you. You know, really the anxiety builds when you're trying to lead God and God's not doing what, you know, he's supposed to be doing. Come on, God, do what I told you to do. And it doesn't work that way with God. He reminds you, taps you on the shoulder, says, I should be out front here. I'm driving, right? And actually he is driving. So we have to trust him. Even though we know that, we can rejoice in our trials. We learn from that. We benefit. We look back, see how God has matured us. Trials, would you agree with me? Trials are still tough, yes? I mean, it can be really tough. Often, we want to see the good, but we just don't see it yet. There's confusion, not clarity. There's fog, no sunshine. We wonder what we should do. How should we respond? One thing I notice as a pastor is when people get trials, they come running in for discipleship counsel and advice, you know? 2 years can go by, 4 years can go by. Never see brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so asking for any help. Boom, they get with a trial. I'm like, you know, I need help. It's like teenagers, right? Teenagers are always like, how are things? I'm good. It's fine. No prob. Until something hard, and it's like, dad, mom, what do I do now? And that's how we are with God, right? I'm fine. I'm good. And then the Lord moves something into our life and we're like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to handle this. This is not quite anything. I mean, where's the book on this? And we don't know. Well, what has happened? A trial has opened our ears and now we want to seek wisdom from God. That is why James, in the next verse, chapter 1, if you haven't opened there yet, verse 5, and no, we're not doing any more than verse 5. James 1, verse 5 is the next subject that James picks up, wisdom. Let's read it. Some of you haven't memorized. But, now some of you don't even have it starting with the word but, and I'm going to talk about that. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What a wonderful verse. What a practical verse for living the Christian life. What does it tell us? It tells us God has wisdom and God delights to give wisdom to those who ask, correct? You're in a trial, you need wisdom, ask God, I'll give it to you. That's what it says. The question though is, though God is ready to give, are we really ready to receive? Sometimes a trial has to bear down on us more before we get humbled to the point where we're like, no, I don't have enough wisdom for life. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Listen now. Well, there are kind of three phases that a believer goes through here when a trial hits and he needs wisdom. The first phase in this verse is the lack of wisdom there. And then the second is the request for wisdom, because you have to know your lack and then you request it. And then the third and the last is the granting of wisdom, right? We lack wisdom, so we request wisdom, and then wisdom is granted. The three phases a believer goes through. Let's take a long look at each of these. Let's trek with it and see what's going on. First phase is the lack of wisdom. Please notice that there is a logical flow of thought that he has from the previous verses on trials. In fact, there are three little clues there that shows that James has not left the subject of trials. The first clue is that there's a word link between the two sections, that is, from verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 teaches that God does not want us lacking anything. Do you notice that? And then verse 5 immediately picks up with that same word and same concept, but if any of you are lacking in wisdom, you should ask for God. Both are using exactly the same Greek word. The second clue is that James uses a linking word at the beginning of verse 5. Some of your translations do not have this, but there is a connective word in Greek, de. It's translated by the NASB as but, and it should be in your translation. It makes it a little more literal, but it does show the connection. And that shows there's a continuation in thought. It's a connection. The third little clue is as you read past verse 5, that is verses 5 through 8, and then go into verses 9 through 12, you can see James has still not left the subject of trials. We talked about in introduction how hard it is to outline James because one thought seems to flow into another, and I decided I'm not going to try to outline it, but clearly there's some segments of the letter that deal with certain subjects, and he's dealing with trials all the way to verse 12. So verse 5 is directly linked back to verse 4 this way. When we endure trials of various kinds, though God uses them to complete our character, while we are still in the midst of the trial, we may lack wisdom. And so, because we lack it, we should ask for it. If I were to put it very shortly, I would put it this way. Do you have trials? You're going to need wisdom. There will be no completion of your character or my character without this treasured attribute called wisdom. What a treasure wisdom is. I hope you feel that way and think that way by the end of this message if you don't already. You know, wisdom, there's many attributes in Scripture. We talked about how beautiful endurance is and how needed faith is and those attributes, but wisdom is something we desperately need. Now, it may help you also, just by way of interpreting this, to understand that the word if in verse 5 does not really mean if in the sense of presenting some kind of doubt that maybe we lack wisdom or maybe we don't lack wisdom. It can have that sense in English, but in Greek, it's what we call a first-class conditional clause, and it considers the lack of wisdom as a standing fact, in other words, not a mere possibility. It could be translated this way, but when any of you lacks wisdom, or it could be translated, since each man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We do lack wisdom. The degree of the need for wisdom is going to vary from believer to believer, but the need for wisdom is universal. We all need more wisdom. Some of us need it more than others, and some need it for this circumstance and others for that circumstance. All believers need more wisdom. Many believers are just getting started with wisdom because the very beginning of wisdom, the book of Proverbs chapter 1 tells us, is the fear of God. So they've just come to the fear of God. They don't want to disobey his commandments. And they're just beginning to learn a life of wisdom, but boy, oh boy, there's a lot still to learn through life, right? And that's why we should be patient with one another as we develop and be kind and help each other and learn from each other as we learn from the Scriptures to help each other along with the very wisdom that we all need for life. Now, we might ask this question, why do we all need wisdom in trials particularly? Why is this brought up in connection to trials as we showed? Again, as we've kind of seen throughout the passage, James does not specify for us. He assumes that with a little reflection, it should become obvious. Part of our need for wisdom may just be to understand, why is God taking me through this trial in the first place? That might be part of the wisdom that we need. Again, that's one of the first questions we have. Why, Lord? Isn't that what you say? We go through something. Lord, you're sovereign. You're in control of all of this. I know this has something to do with you. Why? And there's nothing that drops out of the clouds. I mean, if you're getting little messages that drop out of the clouds and you collect them and put them in a little book, let me know about that, because I'm not getting any of those. They don't fall out from the bird flies overhead and drops it down. The answer is, I don't get it. So I have to figure it out. I have to ask God for wisdom. I have to read the scriptures, right? Wisdom gives us the ability to look at the trial the way James just commanded us to. All joy. Consider it all joy. Think of this as all joy. Wisdom will give you that ability. James also means, I'm sure, that we need wisdom to know what to do while in the trial. Even if I don't know why I'm going through the trial, I still need to know how I need to behave in the trial, correct? What am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to respond to this? What should I do with my money? How should I respond to this person? Do I leave this situation, go to that situation? Who do I go talk to? And there are all kinds of things that just come up, and we're all of a sudden, we're just very teachable when we're going through. It's like a child that's been spanked or something like that, and they're all ears, and they want to learn. That's how we become. That's what we want to know. When these believers that James is writing to faced poverty, for sure, we know that from the letter itself, possibly persecution, they needed wisdom. They needed to know how to respond, what to think, how to remain encouraged, how to be, as Jesus said, wise as serpents and innocent as what? Doves, right? How do I do that in life? Let's face it, in times of trial, there are an increased number of, let's call them spiritual landmines. You could start stepping there and boom, that explodes. Step there and boom, that explodes. And you're trying to figure out, now how do I get through this and not make a bad situation worse, right? I mean, they can blow up as soon as you step on them, cause more damage, more pain that you would not even intend. We don't want to say the wrong thing at the wrong time or worsen a problem through foolish decisions. And often that is exactly what people do facing a trial. They do not respond according to what the scriptures tell them to do. They try to fix something, and it only makes it worse. But wisdom says, look, a gentle answer turns away wrath, right? A harsh word stirs up anger. We don't want to do that. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who captures a city. You see people go through a trial, and some people, we say they have a short fuse. What that means is they have no control over their spirit. They haven't learned to control their spirit yet. Anything that happens messes up their plans, and they're upset, and boom, it just explodes. And some people do that over and over and over and over again. So we certainly can make things worse without wisdom. But also, I think part of the wisdom that is needed is just the practical, godly living and righteous living to deal with the trial. I want to deal with this pressure that has been put against me in a godly way. I want to respond to it as Christ wants me to respond to it. I want to have the character that God wants me to have. And so the wisdom isn't just knowledge. It's not just information. It's godly character. Remember that wisdom in Hebrew thought, and James is a Hebrew, and he's writing to Jewish believers, right? Wisdom in Hebrew thought was not an abstract kind of a thing. A philosopher sitting somewhere debating with other philosophers what truth was. Somebody meditating mystically under a tree and getting enlightened. Those are not what Hebrew thought was. That's not from Scripture. Wisdom in Hebrew thought was knowing about life so well that you lived it correctly. If you didn't live life correctly, you didn't actually have wisdom. So you could get straight A's in school, you could have the highest IQ in the university and be an utter what? Fool, right? Because you've accumulated factual trivia knowledge, you do well in all the trivia shows, you know, you'd earn your $1 million or whatever it is, but you would not really be a wise person because the way you live shows you haven't taken any real understanding and knowledge and put it together and now shown in the way you behave, the way you control your spirit, the way you deal with other people, the way you respond to authority, the way you love other people, the way you live in your family, the way you respond at work, that there is where you're going to see someone who's genuinely wise. You get it? A wise person lives wisely within the context of his own life. It's fleshed out knowledge, knowledge appropriated into life. It's not a mere skill. Sometimes we see someone talk their way around other people and we say, wow, he's wise. No, that's crafty. Okay, that's crafty. That's what Satan does. He makes everything that's straightforward. He twists it and says, no, it's like this. And then people go, huh? He said, no, this is it. It's a straight path. Look right down there. That's exactly what you need to be looking at. Wise people make sound judgments based on facts and careful observation with proper motives leading to proper ends. They speak edifying words. They speak words that glorify God. They listen to Scripture and follow Scripture. You know, people today think a NASA scientist is a wise person, and my apologies to any NASA scientists. You may or may not be a wise person, depends on how you live. Actually, do you want to know what James thinks about wisdom? Let's cheat a little bit. Let's go forward. And it's not really cheating. This is what we're supposed to do. Let's go forward and read in James 3, starting in verse 13, what he thinks about wisdom, because this is really just an introduction to a theme he's going to cycle back to and pick up with more detail. Chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Ah, here comes an answer. Let him show by his debates with philosophers. Is that what it says? No, it says by his what? Good behavior, his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. People who are harsh with other people are not wise, okay? Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. So what? Foolish people are also proud, right? They're arrogant. Verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. So there's an earthly kind of a wisdom, a natural wisdom, a demonic wisdom. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is, and here it is, first what? Pure, means we obey God. Then peaceable, we do everything we can to get along with others. Gentle, reasonable. Reasonable means decisions are based on facts. Full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And then it goes on. What a description of real wisdom. A wise person is kind. A wise person restrains his lips. A wise person does not go about negatively judging other people. A wise person is a team player. A wise person acts the way the Word of God tells him to act. A wise person has courage, but he couples it with humility. Would that our national leaders had true wisdom from God. Amen? Our politicians. We are not led by wise people in America. Foolish people are unreasonable. Foolish people cause divisions. Foolish people are always in arguments. There's always friction around them. Their words are harsh. They're hard to get along with. Proverbs 18:1 says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. There are people like that, and they cause lots of problems. Jesus said that wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. You want to know a wise person? If you're trying to discern who's wise, who's right in a situation, look at the deeds. Remember, Jesus said you will know them by their what? Fruits. Actions speak louder than words. You know a wise person by looking at the fruit around him. We need gentle, humble, thoughtful wisdom when we are in the midst of trials, and we need it badly because we're going to be defensive when we're in a trial. We're going to be angry. We're going to be upset. We're going to be frustrated. And that's not the wisdom from above. And so we really need, when we feel that lack in our character because of the trial, we really need to go after God in prayer long and hard. Sometimes people go after not only prayer, but also times of fasting to really seek a God. Because if there's any a time in life where you really have been revealed and you don't have the character that you need, it's right after a trial has zapped you and you've just behaved poorly. You have to seek God. We need to act gently and merciful to others who wrong us. We don't want to fight back when we are persecuted. We want to leave room, as the scripture says, for the wrath of God. His wrath is a lot more than ours, right? His chastisement hurts more than any words we can come up with. James is exhorting his readers to ask God for the wisdom that results in that mature character that was lacking in their lives. The lack of a completed Christian character in our lives comes from a lack of godly wisdom in our hearts. Once we get more wisdom in our hearts, then we have the completed Christian character in our lives. They go together. They're hand in hand. The trial is attempting to squeeze us and put us into a position where all of a sudden we see our lack of godly, gentle, peaceable, gracious wisdom. We lack, and then we cry out, God, I need it. I didn't have as much as I thought. So also God our Father wants to show us the need for a more disciplined life, for a more humble frame of mind in dealing with our trial. We need to ask God for godly wisdom. We don't want the trial to come and go. And some of you are saying, yes, I want the trial to come and go. No, you don't want the trial to come and go and not learn from it. Otherwise, another trial is going to boomerang back. God is a father. He's teaching his children. Do you think that he doesn't know our hearts? If we don't learn the lesson, of course it's going to boomerang back, right? Wouldn't you do that with your children? They didn't learn the lesson. I know. You're talking to each other as parents. What are you going to do about it? Well, all right, I guess we have to do something else about it. That's what you do because you really care about your children, right? You want them to share your character. You're trying to mold them to be like you. That's what God's doing as well. Don't go through the trial and not learn the wisdom. That is probably the dumbest thing to do. God wants to teach us. Well, wisdom will enable us to learn from the trial. Doesn't that make wisdom a pretty important commodity? What's the most precious thing you own? You know, think about wisdom as a commodity. That's why the Proverbs, they say things like, buy truth and do not sell it. You know, you're at the exchanges, right? Buy it and never sell it. It's yours. Put it somewhere safe and hang on to it. You need it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Go after it. Chase it down. Little hint, before the next trial comes, get it, buy it, pursue it like silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:19 says, wisdom strengthens a wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Wow. It's so good to have it. Now, a little footnote I need to add to all of this, to our discussion about wisdom. Sometimes the ultimate reason for a trial is locked up in God's eternal purposes, and you're not going to know. Job didn't know. Why am I going through this trial? He wasn't told. He just had to learn how to behave in the trial. Sometimes God has a reason for taking you through a trial. It's going to take years before you find out. Sometimes maybe you'll never find out till you get to heaven. I'm not even sure we'll know everything then. But we can always trust God. We know that. God is always good. We know that. God always has our best in mind. We know that. And that is often where you have to rest in your faith, right? But we still should seek wisdom. So this is what we should do. And this takes us to the second phase. We have the lack of wisdom. So what's the next phase the believer goes through? He makes the request for wisdom. Very simple, right? Verse 5, what do you do if you lack? Let him ask of God. Very clear, right? Oh, that's so simple. Let him ask of God. Again, please notice this is a command. It's a third person imperative. The one who lacks wisdom must ask God for it. It's actually our duty as believers. The point of the trial in bringing you to the end of yourself is so now you will cry out. Now you will ask. So it's an invitation for help, but it's also a command. This is what we should be doing. We have a moral obligation here. He must sense his spiritual need. He must sense his incompleteness. Proverbs 3 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And then with that lack of wisdom, bring it to God and say, I need wisdom. One way of putting this is that God puts weights on our shoulders to drive us to our what? Knees, down. It's too heavy, God. It's too heavy. And we get to our knees and then we say, Lord, help. I need to know what to do, how to get through this. Contrary to prevailing humanistic perspective, wisdom is not inside human beings. Understanding your world and the events in your life is not inside you. You don't turn the light inwardly and look for an inward light. That which man thinks he has figured out, he knows not. Those who will not come to the God of the Bible and will not come to the scriptures in which he speaks are not going to get wisdom. In fact, God kind of has arranged it that way. Listen to one of the prayers Jesus had when the disciples came back after he sent them out. He lifted up a prayer in Luke 10:21. He said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Do you know that God has his wisdom and he purposefully hides it from those who think they know better. They never get it. What does that tell you about the importance of being a child before God, being like a babe before God, being humble of heart before God? Doesn't that tell you how important that is?
It becomes very clear in a trial how much you need the great wisdom of God. Trials often cause you to seek God and ask Him for wisdom. Today on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom made it clear that in our weakness, we don't have the way to get through difficulties. But when you ask God, He is gracious and generous and eager to give wisdom and help when you are ready to receive it. If you enjoyed today's message on Discover Hope, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to ask you to prayerfully consider donating to this ministry to help us expand the reach of the gospel. You can give securely online at hopebible.org. Do you live in the area of Columbia, Maryland? If so, you're invited to become part of our Sunday morning gatherings here at Hope Bible Church. Join us for a morning of Bible study, worship, and fellowship. Find out more by visiting our website. Again, that's hopebible.org. After you recognize your great need for wisdom, especially in the midst of trials, is to ask God to grant you wisdom to get through your trial, but also to grow your faith and character. When you join us next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will continue his teaching on wisdom, explaining the step of requesting wisdom from God. Your need should drive you to your knees to ask God for help in all earnestness and persistence. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Discover Hope. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hopebiblechurch.org. And be sure to join us again, right here on Discover Hope.